Check, check.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Check.
All right. All right. Thank you. This is 262, right?
Yes.
262. Thank you. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Well, greetings and salutations, gentlemen.
Hey, wow. Guys.
What's up?
Nick, you're back.
I'm back. I'm back. And boy, I was sorry to miss the Aerosmith conversation, but thoroughly enjoyed listening to you guys talk about it with Keith. That was awesome.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. Thanks.
You didn't let us get a word in edgewise, but
yeah,
you know, yeah, the way that it was fair, the way that I presented my call in, it was fair the way you guys treated that. So.
But it did sound amazing, dude. I mean, yeah, that just sounds like an incredible journey.
Yeah, it was absolutely awesome. And anybody who's friends with Crush, I highly recommend you take him up on his offer to go to Croatia with him in August.
Duly noted.
Yes.
Right on,
absolutely.
Man.
Yeah, incredible. Very cool. Yeah, it was wild. A lot of music, nights. There were like businesses there that open at 10 and close at like 2 a.m., right?
On that Europe time.
But the night after I sent in my call-in, it was the eve of a holiday, which was it marked the last battle that they had in kind of like the War for Independence when Yugoslavia broke up.
Oh, snap.
So there was live music playing, and then right at midnight, like the whole freaking town, it seemed, I have video of it, this specific song starts playing, and everybody lights a flare, and they're just holding these flares up.
Oh,
and it was
nice.
Like, it was some intense, crazy, you know, it was really cool. This
got
cool to be,
Croatian,
yeah, and it made me realize like how young that country is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a little bit that was like, hey, how do you feel about this, Crush? And he was like, oh, I'm not sure. and you know, but it was also like, but it's a young country, you know, and this
Crush
is probably what it would have been like at the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Crush isn't big on any groupthink. No. Yeah.
That's right.
So, it was phenomenal, super cool. I could talk about it endlessly, but we don't have time for that tonight. So,
All right.
How are you doing, Greg?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty worn out.
The old man over here.
Yeah. Well,
he's got three bags under his eyes.
I got some bags under my eyes tonight. It's just been a lot of traveling. I was just back on the East Coast for more gigs with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. We played at Daryl's house.
We want Chili Willy. We want Chili Willy. We want Chili Willy.
We want Chili Willy. We want Chili Willy.
So yeah. Anyway, Daryl's house, which is Daryl Hall's joint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. It was like our fourth. Yeah. It's our fourth time playing up there. It's nice, you know. You walk in and
cool.
your phone automatically connects to the Wi-Fi.
Oh.
You're like, oh, yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Like you did.
Yeah,
like
yeah
you
it's
did.
Been a year, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's definitely one of those things that for some reason is just a little like, it's like one of those weird little creature comforts. You don't have to ask, like, hey, what's the Wi-Fi password?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, no, you already went through that. Now you just, it just connects automatically.
Yeah.
And you already know what to get
now
on
you
the
can
menu.
Just share it with your friends.
Exactly, yeah, which it usually offers. Yeah, it's like if there's a sub who hasn't been there before, he's like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, Nate wants to
share the
connect
password
to
with you, buddy.
Yeah, here you go, buddy.
Yeah.
But they have a menu there that includes Daryl Hall's mom's pork chop recipe. And so I always get the pork
right.
chop. It's really nice.
How are Mrs. Hall's pork chops? Is it good?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's fantastic. Yeah, it's really good.
Awesome.
So it's a cool little room. It was a great show. Fourth time, but they run really high level quality sound there. If anybody's ever watched the YouTube channel, you know, they're like, they have cameras set up, but it's a listening room. You fit like maybe 200 people there tops, and people are sitting in tables, like eating their dinner, but they're rocking out and
nice.
They're there to hear, they're there to see the rock show. They're not like, oh my God, it's really loud. You know? That was fun, and then we went over to New Hampshire, played this place called Wally's, which is a fun spot. We had a great crowd, and then we took a ferry to a place called Block Island, You guys ever heard of Block Island?
No.
It's in Rhode Island.
Oh, have you played there before? This kind of rings a bell.
We have played in Rhode Island, but never on Block Island. We had to take a ferry to get there.
Okay.
So we, you know, it was one of those nights where we played in this joint in New Hampshire the night before, got back to the hotel at like 2 or 2.30 a.m., something crazy, and then we had to leave at 5 the next day. So it's like you're in the hotel for, you know, for 2 or 3 hours. And then because we had to make this ferry.
You got to make the ferry
to get there in time for sound check, because the next day's gig was, we started at like 2 p.m. It's like a beach resort.
Oh,
so they have a really big stage.
Wow.
So anyway, but Block Island is a beautiful place. You know who summers there?
John Mayer.
Wowie, wow. Christopher Walken.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's like a eight, you know, I think if you could fit into an 8 mile by 8 mile square.
You know where else Christopher Walken summers?
Where? Where you at?
Wherever the f*** he wants to.
That's also true.
Yeah. But also Block Island. Yeah.
My favorite month is August. Yeah. Anyway.
That was good. That was good.
Oh, thank you. Come on. So we took the ferry home yesterday. We played two nights on Block Island. We spent one night, played two day shows on Block Island. And then last night, I caught the ferry back to the mainland. And then this morning at 6 a.m., I was at Providence Airport and flew back to L.A. So
wow.
That's why I'm pretty tired, man. Yeah. And guess what? I leave on Wednesday to go back to Ohio. So
there you
have it. But I will say the travel was smooth, and there was a lounge in Providence that I could use because of, you know, whatever, Capital One.
Cool.
Yeah. So,
Jerome.
Yeah.
Sirs.
Explain the cicadas. What's going on?
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, this is our second beach pilgrimage of the year. We are now in lovely Ocean City, Maryland. Celebrating my son's 7th birthday.
Wow. Like that's you right. do.
As we do. Little Ben's going to be 7 years old, believe it or not.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Tried to get him to stay up to be on the podcast, but, you know, the old man's passed out. 4 bags of jelly beans. And we just got here today. If I don't have my normal radio voice on, it's because I'm trying to be a little bit respectful. The kids are in the next room over, trying to be a little bit quiet. But yeah, I got the mobile rig running, so, you know, not the normal slate of sound effects. You will have to bear with us.
That's okay. We can be entertained. We don't need all that fancy technology.
That's exactly right. We can entertain you with our voices.
Mm.
Our sotto voto voices. Yes. And people are driving by me on bikes and wondering why the hell I'm talking by myself on a porch.
I think people have seen AirPods.
I mean, it's Ocean City. They've seen other stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you look like you're... Why are you zooming this late is the only thing they're wondering. Right.
Good point. Yeah. Well, I think we're caught up, boys. Nick, it's really good to have you back.
Thanks. Great to be back.
Greg, good to see you. And
thank you.
Let's get this bad boy started.
Let's do it. You should check it.
Yes, that's right. You were tuned in. You should check it out. Zooming way too late on porches since 2018 or before that. Happy to have you here with us. This is episode 262 of the You Should Check It Out podcast, coming at you on this beautiful Thursday. And my name is Jay.
And I am Nick.
And I'm Greg.
And this is low energy Thursday for us.
Nah.
But we got a great show for you tonight. Greg is going to be coming up first. He wants to talk about this new album that just came out that is very intriguing.
Yes, and I'm starting off, so you'll hear about that shortly.
Sweet.
Heck yeah.
And I want to talk about a Reddit post that I found that led me down this weird rabbit hole that just had crazy updates happen today. So I'm going to bring you up to date
with
what happened. And by the time you guys hear this on Thursday, the world will have changed completely since then. But as far as we're concerned, here in real time on Monday.
This is fresh.
Fresh.
Breaking
and
news.
Nick, sir. So that's what I'm doing. Mr. Klein, what's up with you?
I've got a hodgepodge of stories that that have occurred in the 2 weeks.
Seems like we should have a bit for that.
I think we do. I think we do. And get ready for it, because it's News with Nick.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Beautiful.
All right, without further ado, Mr. Lohman, the floor is yours.
All right. Well, I was just kind of perusing, you know, online as you do, and just got word that suddenly there was a new album by Lewis Cole.
Hey.
And I was like, nice. Oh, interesting. And it's called Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the cover is kind of this, if you look it up, you'll see it's like black and white photo with like a starry night, you know, kind of space stars vibe.
Yeah.
And then Lewis Cole kind of with his arms out, and then underneath you see kind of like a like an orchestra dressed up in skeleton like onesies. And I was like, oh, well, this is cool, because when I saw him at the Fonda in LA about maybe a year ago, he had maybe like 15 people wearing these skeleton jumpies or whatever, you know.
It's been a thing.
And
okay,
it was like it was Lewis Cole big band, and that's part of the reason why I went, because I was like, big band, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And so he has put out this album called Nothing, and he did it in conjunction with something called the Metropole Orchestre, and someone named Jules Buckley. So this Metropole Orchestre is this orchestra, I think they're European, but I'm pulling up my facts here again. This all kind of came suddenly, but it's an orchestral album, and you got to hear this if you haven't heard it yet, because especially if you know Lewis Cole,
we've talked
and appreciate him.
Lewis Cole before, but like what's
we sure have
like what's he doesn't normally do orchestral stuff. What's his main thing usually?
Well, he's doing kind of a Gen Z take on fusion or something. Yeah, he has a band called Nowhere, which people kind of put in. It's almost kind of like a more upbeat electronic Wolfpack,
in a way.
Definitely. I feel like there's a correspondence there. And so, anyway, let's listen to the song "Things Will Fall Apart." Give you guys a little taste of this. So this is gonna if you know Lewis Cole's music, you're gonna definitely recognize the style. He's got a whole orchestra on this album.
He has his own sound.
It's really, really well. I think it's just really well made, but you'll have to hear this and judge it for yourself. Remember, he's also a drummer and a singer, got a main composer, so he's a pretty good drummer.
Yeah, he is. Such a distinct sound.
Yeah, man. And so this orchestra that he's working with here is Dutch, 50-piece orchestra. And
wow.
They did like 17 songs, some of which are songs that we've heard on earlier records. But they did some live performances in 2023 in Europe. And I think that some of this record is from like recording that band when they were on tour. So some of it might actually be from live recordings. I'm not entirely sure. That's what some of the reviews say. But anyway, you know, it's kind of cool because I don't really hear. I almost feel like Lewis Cole right now is kind of doing what he's like. If you compare him to someone like Jacob Collier, mm-hmm. I hear like just as much of like a virtuoso thing happening, but there's also like a real identity and like a real like voice
attitude.
That's like and like exactly and a style.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah.
And I think whereas I think like Jacob Collier is kind of like more of like an educator. You know, and whereas Lewis Cole seems to really be coming into his own. I think it's in like 5 years. I was curious to see where he is like 5-10 years. I almost could see him not necessarily reaching a Zappa stage, but just like going in. He seems like he's going in that direction.
He's got that rawness. And Collier's got this like annoying purity or something like that.
and I've called Lewis Cole annoying as well. You know, in the past, because some of it is to me, honestly. Mm-hmm. But that's also because I'm an old man, you know. But also, because it is a little.
I'm with you, Greg. I'm totally with you.
Yeah, sometimes
I find something about him very irritating.
Right, but at the same time, it's for me, it's fleeting. It's like sometimes I'm like, I don't ever really do that. But most of it, I do think is pretty cool. Even though, I'll share this with you guys. I went to his show. I mentioned it to a friend of mine who's a pretty, very serious, deep cat, you know, composer and everything. And I was like, yeah, I went to the Lewis Cole show. He's like, oh yeah, some friends of mine went. They said it was pretty cute. I was like, yeah, I see what you mean. You know, like it's almost like it's not serious enough. But at the same time, to me, I'm like, this is pretty serious. There's a lot of things happening. Let's listen to a couple more clips from this, shall we?
Cool. Yeah.
All right. What else we got here? Mr. J, let's play a clip from a song called A Pill in the Sea.
Can't
Lewis Cole, Nothing.
Dude, so I just was reading about this, Greg. It says, with the exception of a few vocal re-recordings and instrumental overdubs, everything you hear was culled from live dates.
Holy
wow.
Yeah.
Which is very That's Zappa-ish, amazing. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Project Object.
Yeah. And even, like, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't, like, live at Roxy and Elsewhere, isn't that, like, live takes with, like, some fixes?
Oh, yeah.
Some overdubs?
Yeah.
But Definitely. It actually is. It's recorded live at the Roxy, and it's like doctored at his studio.
But even a lot of Zappa's album releases were live recordings that he repurposed and reworked and
So that one, I definitely was like, man, I feel like I should play this on the podcast. Just for the sake, you know, even maybe you're not in the mood to listen to Lewis Cole, but at the same time, there's just something about that that's like. It just sounds really good to me because it's so analog. It's like actual. It's not some you know, MIDI synth, you know.
I totally understand what you mean, because a lot of times with this kind of new wave jazz stuff, like, there's so many electronic instruments and so much sampling and so much looping that you're, it's hard to tell when something's being performed versus being triggered.
Yeah, and...
not that there's anything wrong with things being triggered, but just there's like a purity to people playing stuff. You guys know
yeah.
what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, and I have been kind of taking a deeper dive into just, I don't know, just listening, when I'm listening to music and realizing, like, yeah, this is all, like, this is all very analog, this is, you know, this is warm sounding, this is real sounding versus something mm-hmm. that's not real sounding. I don't know. It's been kind of a thing that's been bouncing around in my head as I check out new music lately more and Excellent. More. So this is, like, a really big dose of just, like, hey, this is... real violins,
uh-huh.
you know, and yeah. I'm just really like, ah, it's really just pleasant to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So even if they're playing like the chords that sound like they're from Psycho, there's still like a warmth to it because it's so well recorded. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, it's to me.
Yeah.
And it actually, I'm just going to bring up this, before I play my last clip, bring up this Rick Beato interview with whoever does Front of House for the Rolling Stones. Jay, have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
It's great.
But I will check that out.
Yeah, and at one point, he's
I
like,
I think
look.
I saw the thumbnail for it. Yeah,
yeah, he talks about how
Rick
I analyze
Beato's
better.
Thumbnails turn me off, though.
Well, yeah, but he has to make it so digestible for everybody else. You know?
I know.
You would actually have the patience to watch an hour-long interview with this guy, Front of House.
I do.
Yeah, and also, it's like, it's your arena. I mean, it's
I'd love to hear that.
It's great, and the guy's cool. You know, he's had an amazing career, sure. but it's all very based on the fact that he's not this like wizard that figured everything out. He just figured out this thing, and he's really good at that thing, and
yep.
he just gets called
yep.
to do that thing. Anyway,
beautiful.
But so at one point he does explain why analog is better. You know,
oh,
basically, yeah,
nice.
Basically just comparing our brains that have evolved over millions of years compared to like what, like 60 years of chip processing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it's like, that's not yeah. It's never going to match. So anyway, let's finish off our little intro and praise. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I've really been enjoying this record. Maybe talk to me next week and I'll be like, it's actually really annoying. Never mind. I was just in the right place.
No. Well, you brought it up and I listened to it. I listened to it on the flight back. And it was, I thoroughly enjoyed it as well.
Good flying music.
Yeah.
Because you're just like,
yeah,
you know,
quite
it's
energetic.
Like, you're really going fast in that airplane, even though you can't tell. Uh-huh. It's like, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
But some of it is very chill and mellow as well. So he's definitely somebody who's able to go into a lot of different emotional territories. He's really open, even though some of his lyrics are kind of cringy. Maybe, I don't know, it depends. Maybe you won't find them cringy. Maybe you'll find them cringier than I do. but I do respect him, you know, for going out and just trying to find his voice. And
well, yeah, and it's definitely like a different, like, bold experiment that you don't see too many other artists taking on these days.
No, and it makes me proud to be like kind of. It's one of those. He's one of those artists that make me go like, yeah, man, LA, yeah, you know, like, because there's definitely a lot of like amazing artists out here, but a lot of them are pop artists or a lot of, you know,
yeah.
The fact that he's here and he's been here, and I will mention one last thing, which is he's on this record label named Brainfeeder, which I'd like to explore deeper later on. But it's Flying Lotus's label. I don't know if you ever heard of Flying Lotus.
Oh yeah,
Thundercat.
Flying
Lotus.
It's like one of our first
tracks that we ever played on this podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. So Flying Lotus, Thundercat, Lewis Cole. This is how they're getting their music out there, is through this label.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's like, you know, it's working. They're getting good stuff out there. And it seems like the artists are evolving. So
nice.
Let's play one more clip from Nothing by Lewis Cole. This is These Dreams Are Killing Me. Thank you.
All right, so who's that on the guitar?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out, man.
His Bandcamp page. His Bandcamp
whoever
page
it is
has...
is crushing it, though.
Jeez. Yeah. With some Alan Holdsworth or Pat Metheny stuff. Yeah, that's
yeah,
crazy.
Big time, dude. Yeah. He had Kurt Rosenwinkel on his last one.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Nice. That's not, I don't believe that's Kurt.
No, that's not him. No.
Yeah. But anyway, there you have it. Lewis
Super
Cole.
Cool, man. Yeah, I gotta give it another listen. I listened today once we got in, and
might not
it was
be
a bit much with
it,
so much going on.
I hear you. No, you need to kind of. I was definitely more in like a. I'm. You gotta be hungry for it.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that you'll find the right time and place. Just give it a spin when you're, when you need a burst of ideas.
Love it. Love
Perfect.
It.
Yes, sir. Cool.
What you got, Jerome?
All right, so guys, yeah, I pulled into Ocean City today, and right. Something I really like to do whenever I'm in a new city, if I can, is pull on the radio, because I love hearing new radio stations, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So hit scan, and just like luck of the draw, for whatever reason, the first station it stopped on was 107.9 here in Ocean City.
Okay.
Which is WEES. And I'd never heard the station before, and I just like was sitting there baffled as to why this station exists. It was like Spyro Gyra soft jazz rock, and then like into 50s bossa nova. And then they did a short little station identification break, and they talked about how this is like the soft rock hour or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, all this stuff you never hear on the radio in anywhere. And I said to my wife, I was like, how the heck is this radio station exist? Like, who mm-hmm. sponsors this? It's just the most random. Well, it turns out it's like a public access radio.
Ah.
And they let people come in and host different hours and stuff like that. And I love that kind of radio.
Yeah, like, that's the best. It's like college radio.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyway, I happened to catch like the soft rock and pop hour. But while I was listening to that, they played this Frank Sinatra song that I wasn't familiar with, or at least I don't know who wrote it, but Frank Sinatra was singing it. And so, and the chorus of it got stuck in my head. So I looked it up as soon as I got to the condo here. And it turns out that the name of the song is My Kind of Girl.
Mm-hmm.
And the recording that I was listening to actually has Count Basie in it, who's playing piano. So check this out. This is Frank Sinatra and Count Basie playing My Kind of Girl.
She walks like an angel walks. She talks like an angel talks. And her hair has a kind of curl to my mind. She's my kind of girl. She is wise like an angel's wise, with eyes like an angel's eyes, and a smile like a kind of pearl to my mind. She's my kind of girl. A pretty little face, that face just knocks me off my feet. A pretty,
Hey, nice. So there's some smooth old Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Old Blue Eyes.
But shout out to WEES, man.
Cool. Yeah.
Super
cool
radio
good
station.
Find.
So check
yeah.
this out, guys. So yesterday, I'm browsing Reddit, right, as I do.
As you do.
Mm-hmm. And I come across this post, and I would tell you the username, but my Google Chrome just locked up in the middle of this. So if one of you fine gentlemen could find the user who submitted this post to Reddit, I would be eternally grateful.
This would be DB Scott. DB underscore
Scott. The honorable DB Scott.
Indeed. Yeah.
He submitted this post to the music subreddit. And in this very long...
Is it a post or a screed? Yeah.
Oh my God. He wrote a freaking Bible. to explain this thing. But the gist of it is that he has found a bunch of bands that are listed on Spotify that are basically making cover versions of very popular songs from all eras, and in most cases not crediting the original artists. So you go and you listen to some of these songs, and it's pretty clear, if you've been paying attention to what AI music sounds like, mm-hmm. that they are definitely AI-generated cover tracks of popular songs.
The covers?
Yes, yeah.
Really?
So, like, all the bands have these, like, really generic names. I think one is, like, the Gutterball Grinders, one is, like, the Grunge... Again, I don't have the list in front of me, but they're all just, like, very generic band names. And if you search for any of these bands, you know, on Google...
Savage Sons.
Savage Sons, yeah. Exactly.
Jet Fuel and Ginger Ales and Grunge Growlers.
Grunge Growlers, that was the one. So if you look these bands up on Google, there's no... Like, they don't exist.
Okay.
But all these bands have, like, 400,000 plus followers. And a lot of streams. So what this guy is theorizing, what the poster on Reddit was theorizing, was that there's a company out there generating AI cover versions mm-hmm. and getting them in the Spotify algorithm to get them played in big, like, rock or pop playlists, right? So that when the unsuspecting person hears them, they're close enough to the original that they're not necessarily going to click away.
Okay.
And all of that would be, like, I mean, people do cover songs, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But you got to credit the original artist.
Right.
So the mechanical royalties, the guy gets paid. The composer gets paid.
Yeah. But
most of these bands that were listed here weren't being paid. Or weren't crediting the original artist.
Right, right.
Right. So did you guys get a chance to check any of these bands out?
No, I was waiting to do that here.
Okay, so I checked them out as soon as I saw this post, and I was like, yeah, that's exactly what they are. They're just, like, Uncanny Valley, like, they're absolutely AI-generated. They're very well done, and if you're not paying attention, and you're somebody who doesn't really listen to music much, like, they would pass for the original tracks, 100%.
Really? Wow.
So I, like, wrote a list of some of the songs that I wanted to play for you guys, and I get here to Ocean City today, the next day, and I go to look all these bands up, and they're gone from Spotify.
All of them are
what?
Gone.
What?
All of them are gone.
So we got nothing.
I found one. Okay. I found one.
Savage Sons?
Not only that, I was like, well, they're probably still up on YouTube. They're gone from YouTube, too.
Whoa.
Wow.
So this is the power of the internet, guys. In uh-huh. one day, just one stupid post on Reddit has taken down these fake bands from at least Spotify and YouTube.
Power of the people.
I guess. But, I mean, kudos. We don't normally give any credit to Spotify. But kudos to Spotify on this one for actually stepping up and, like, taking these bands down.
I guess.
Yeah. All right.
When you looked at the posts on Reddit, most of the people were saying, yeah, but Spotify won't do S about this. Like, they'll just let it go because it doesn't matter to them, right? But anyway, enough buzz. But today I did find one. And this is by a quote-unquote band called Issa Rae. And again, it's just a very generic profile. You can't find any information about her or them on Google. And she only had two songs up there, and one of them was Fast Car, the Tracy Chapman song that's recently mm-hmm. been covered by Luke Combs. So this is her quote-unquote version of that very popular song.
You got a fast car, I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we can make a deal, maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better, starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. See, you got a fast car, I got a plan to get us out of here.
Hmm. Huh.
Right?
Isn't there an actress named Issa Rae?
There is.
I might just be getting the name confused. Again, my browser completely crashed and it will not come back up, so I don't have any of this information in front of me.
Okay.
There is an actress named Issa Rae.
Yes.
And the reason I'm thinking of that is because it's always on a damn New York Times crossword puzzle.
Right. Mm. Sure is.
But let me see if I can find this real quick. No, everything's crashing right now. We're going to try to That's keep okay. the podcast moving. But it's a robot of some kind.
Yeah, definitely a robot.
So anyway, that was what was going to be my bit. I was going to play a couple for you, but what were your thoughts on that particular track? Was it believable?
I mean,
did you guys call it out as AI?
I think that if it's playing in the hotel lobby, I'm probably not even tracking that it's not Tracy Chapman, you know? Softly, you know, just kind of background noise, but you're thinking about something else. Mm-hmm. You're not really listening to the
Close
song.
Close enough. Yeah.
Yep.
Can you imagine, you know, just like going around imitating some other artist? It's crazy.
I get jokes.
As a computer.
That one took me a second. Yeah.
Although, there's a difference. Yeah, when you're talking about recorded music and it can just regenerate it. I mean, we know what we can do, what it can do. It can't.
Well, that's. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, please.
No, I was going to say this guy's screed is just like, this is complete and utter bullshit.
Yeah.
Because you can generate this, you can publish it as recorded music just to collect royalties on the streams
without
ridiculous. Giving any credit. Like, it's absolutely absurd. It's not at all what you guys are doing, which is giving a live performance. Yes.
Well, and it makes me think of this tweet that I saw from the band Eve 6. Remember them from back in the day?
Uh-huh.
And it was a recent tweet, and it said something like along the lines like, we're not worried about AI taking our jobs anytime soon because we'd love to see AI take 3 Southwest flights to go open up for Hoobastank at a county fair.
Well done, Eve 6. Well done.
Hoobastank.
Yeah. It's like, you know that really happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
geez. Anyway, there you have it.
So anyway, that's something to look out for, folks.
Yeah.
Because they're out there. And, you know, if you find yourself in the middle of like a Walgreens and like, yeah, I know that song, but that just sounds like a...
But not exactly right.
It's not exactly that song. That might be what you're dealing with, but we'll see.
Ah, it's very disconcerting.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to say, guys, have any of you watched Blue Eye Samurai on Netflix?
No.
No.
Oh my God! I never talk about TV shows or movies or anything.
No, you don't.
Because I never get a chance to watch them. But please do yourself a favor and watch that.
Blue Eyed Samurai.
Amazing. I mean, it's just the most beautiful thing I've ever seen on a television screen. It's
really?
Just incredible. Yeah. The storytelling's amazing. It's like this, like, it's set in 16th century Japan, 15th century, 17th century Japan.
Is it like, who's the audience for? Is it, so sorry, before you explain, is it like for,
well,
for adults?
Well, so that's why I strayed away from it, because I heard a lot of people talk about it, but I looked at it and I was afraid it was an anime thing, but it's not. It's, it's just this gorgeous artistic drama thing, but it's also managed to be humorous as well. Like, it's really good. It's just so good.
So it is animated?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the whole thing's animated.
Oh, wow, okay. All right.
But it's amazing. Amazing.
Would it be appropriate for kids of a certain age?
Oh, no. No,
no,
no
okay.
No, no.
All right.
There's a lot of blood and a lot of drugs and a lot of the sexy time. So.
Okay. All right. Blue Eye Samurai?
Blue Eye Samurai, yep.
Okay.
Very cool. On to you, Mr. Klein.
Thank you so much. Well, good news, Jay.
Uh-huh.
I know you're at the beach right now, but this Thursday, the
That's
day that this podcast released,
it's the releases, day I come back from the beach.
It's the day you come back from the beach, and then you turn around and drive to D.C. so that we can catch the Gizzard, King Gizzard.
Straight.
Oh,
he's gonna
man.
Be, yeah. So we're going to be doing a...
Lucky lizards.
We're going to be doing a Tales from the Concert next week. And just in time for this live concert that we're going to be attending on Thursday, they have released a new album, which, by my reckoning, I think is only their second album this year.
Weird.
Oh,
right?
Only? Yeah.
I think so. It might even be their first. I think it's their second.
I think you're right. The Silver Cord came out, I think, this year.
Right. Yeah, so this is the second album that they put out this year. This is Flight from, this album is called Flight B741. So I wanted to share a song from the new album. We're going to be seeing them live on Thursday. This is called Raw Feel. This is gonna be so fun.
I cannot wait.
This is gonna be so much fun live.
We don't have to get into it today because I feel like this album needs a deep dive on one of our episodes.
100%.
I mean, you're digging it.
Oh, I'm digging it. And apparently they were hard into Steve Miller Band when they recorded this one. that's what I read.
Well, what I love about it is it actually feels like a cohesive album.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it doesn't feel like a novelty thing, like the one where they did all the modes or like you know, like
there's not a shtick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it just feels like a great album.
Yeah, the only rule that they had on this album was everybody sings.
Oh, nice.
So everybody sings a song. Yeah, it's cool. So anyway, yeah, we definitely need to do a deep dive into this one. But my topic for today, well, again, we said it at the lead of the show. I got a bunch of stories to catch up on. So let's do a News with Nick if we have the clip.
News with Nick. Get ready for it. News with Nick. You will adore it. News will read the news today.
That he finds noteworthy. News with Nick. Cool. I'm glad we had the clip. Awesome.
He's ready to go.
Alrighty. News with Nick. Thank you so much. Got a bunch of stories. I'm gonna fly through these. If you have any thoughts, we'll talk about it. If not, I'll just move on to the next one. Does that sound fair?
Sounds fair.
Alright, great. StubHub has found itself on the receiving end of the lawsuit. They are being sued in the District of Columbia for duping customers over ticket prices, specifically regarding the way that the price that you see on StubHub when you grab the ticket slowly escalates as you make your way through the checkout process.
Does it?
It does. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never noticed that.
Never noticed that, Jay? Yeah.
Never.
Apparently, at the heart of this is that they had a few years back tested having the real ticket price be the published price when you went to click on the ticket, but they found that it hampered sales.
Did it?
So they reverted back to this where they add fees as you go and check out. So they're getting sued for predatory pricing tactics in the District of Columbia. So,
wow.
This is everybody's gunning for the ticket providers right now.
I guess you see what you can get away with, right?
You do indeed. You do indeed. Yep. So I don't know. Things feel like they're moving in towards the right direction. Which, just tell me how much it's freaking going to cost. Just tell me
really how much it's going to cost. Yep.
I thought I could buy tickets with the then all of a sudden it's $300 more. Yep. All right, next one. A lot of these stories have been popping up, but this one. So Taylor Swift just canceled all of her Vienna tour dates for her Eras tour.
Oh, really?
After police arrested two suspects that had been threatening a terrorist attack at one of her shows.
Are you serious? I hadn't heard about any of this. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, there was a stabbing at a viewing of the Eras movie in the UK a couple weeks back. And for whatever reason, this seems to, at least for whatever reason right now, Taylor in Europe, and I believe that they were teenagers that were arrested, that were threatening to, So, pretty bad stuff. Nearly 200,000 people were expected to attend the shows that had to be canceled. So, weird trend. I don't know what's behind it or why it seems to be catching on, but it does. So, yeah, straight up.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about one of the most popular things in the world, you know, it's going to attract some ne'er-do-wells, right?
Yeah. Still sucks.
You're right. I was just offering an explanation. I was definitely not trying to defend their actions.
I mean, there's a part. You're right. There's a part of it that's like, I'm surprised this hasn't happened already. But it's still like, ah, man. Especially that number of 200,000 tickets. That were sold. That's crazy. Little bit of an update to what had been a sad topic when it came out. But the city of Chicago has announced that the 2600 to 2700 block of West Belmont Avenue, which was the location of the electrical audio, is now being called Steve Albini Way.
Interesting. Are you serious?
Yeah, they renamed the street after
that. That is awesome.
I know. I thought that was so cool. Yeah, good on you, City of Chicago.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So now, 20 years from now, somebody can, some tourist will drive down the street, Steve Albini Way, what the hell?
Hey, you know what? If it gets you to Google his name, perfect. That's the point.
Fair enough. Yep. Good point.
And you can go learn about this awesome guy. And then finally, last thing I have here is, actually, I got two more. There was a deal, Universal Music, they earlier in the year had it out with TikTok. You remember that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
So this has been plastered all over the music news sites because they're making a lot of press out of it. But they've come to a major licensing deal with Meta for all of their licensed music, which includes WhatsApp. And it was couched in that it's basically to combat AI generated music. But it sounds like they basically got a pretty sweet licensing deal for all their artists. So if you're on Universal Music, good news, guys. You're going to get better deals with Meta.
Yeah.
And then the last piece of news is something that Greg was kind enough to share. But honestly, I'll give the news and then I'll give my thoughts. Over the weekend, Jordy Greep, was one of the primary members of the band Black Midi, a band I've loved since the very start.
Yes.
Said in a live stream on Instagram that the band is indefinitely over. They are done.
What was the reasoning?
It sounds like they're all doing solo projects and kind of going different directions. Didn't cite any creative differences or anything like that. Another member of the band came out and said, I didn't think we were supposed to be talking about this, but yeah, I can pretty much confirm that. Mm-hmm. Honestly, there was an interview that the drummer for Black Midi, Morgan Simpson, did a couple years back with Bill Bruford, where, first of all, these guys are, right now, they're 23. Yeah. Like that, they have been together since high school, and in this interview, Morgan Simpson's—he's talking. He doesn't even talk about himself at all. He's just talking about Black Midi, the group. He's almost like himself as Black. Yep. Like, he's like, mm-hmm. Well, we, everything we. And Bill starts like digging in to like, well, what about you, Morgan? What about you? And through the by the end of the interview, Morgan's just talking about like what he might want to do, you know, post Black Midi. And right. It just made me realize in that moment, like how young these guys are, that they haven't even thought about themselves as individual musicians yet, and that it is inevitable because, like them or not, I think they're all incredibly talented. Morgan especially is an amazing drummer. That it is inevitable that these guys are going to cast their own paths at some point, and then I'm going to have to be okay with that because it's pretty damn cool that these, you know, high school kids made such incredible music at such young age.
Yeah, so, I remember you making that exact point whenever you told me about that interview.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. But I hope it's they go off and do their own things and then find that they come back and make some more music as
Black. Kind of like come back together. It doesn't sound like there's any bad blood. It sounds like they're all just kind of working on their own things. And so I think that a part of me has been bracing for this for some time. And and honestly, I was pretty delighted when Hellfire came out, because that, like, that as a concept album was just so just so ridiculous. And I absolutely love that album. I adore that album. So so I'm okay, but still.
Wait, I have the perfect sound on my mobile rig for this.
Oh. There it is. Sad trombone.
That sounds more condescending than I meant it to, so don't take it that way, man.
That's all right. So that's what I've got for this week.
Yeah. I could see it almost being like, hey, you're almost going to get more Black MIDI out of this, because they're each going to go do something that's kind of interesting to you, because, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yep.
I don't see it as necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. I will particularly follow Morgan on his travails wherever he goes.
Yeah.
Because,
look at Silver Lining Greg over here.
I love it.
Love it. We got to get you on some more cross-country flights.
You couldn't possibly get me on more... You couldn't get me on more country cross-country flights, honestly.
Literally, like, on all of them.
I am on all of them. It's getting insane. I'm losing my damn mind.
Well, gentlemen, this has been an excellent time. I apologize for the technical limitations we've been dealing with here.
And
apologies for, like, the block party that is, like, gathering outside of my...
Hey, you know what? We're all at the beach at Ocean City.
Hey, listen, man, it's summertime. You know, people are you went to a party town. What do you expect?
That's right.
This is why people go to Ocean City, New Jersey.
I'm literally the old man on his porch saying, get off my lawn right now.
Right, right.
But I feel fine about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. Yeah.
All right, so I have some news regarding Suno for this particular week. And the news is, Greg, you're going to have to read the credits yourself.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Jet lag Greg reading credits.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That he hasn't read in a couple weeks. Does he remember that?
A couple months.
I don't read them, you know. It's all just right up here in the old noggin.
Uh-oh. Exactly, and that's what we're going to be testing here.
All right.
Wait, can you do it in the genre of? No, I'm just kidding.
60s doo wop.
Yeah.
Do it in the style of Christopher Walken.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. I'll try. That'd be great. I'll try. You can find us online at youshouldcheckitout.com. Send us an email at yscio.podcast@gmail.com. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are heard. I'm going back to normal voice. Leave a review. As always, tell a friend. You should check it out. By the way, also on Facebook and Instagram.
Get some claps for me.
Yep.
Yes. There you go.
Very well done, sir.
All right.
Yeah. Very well done, Mr. Well, Walker.
You button hooked me. I didn't know you were going to button hook me.
This is what I do. This is what I do. All right. Well, boys, it's been a good time. Thanks for dealing with us. And welcome back, Nick. Welcome back to home, Greg. And welcome me back on Thursday. And I will see you, Nick, on Thursday.
Heck yes.
Yeah, you guys have a great time.
Thank you.
We will. All right. Y'all have a great week. We'll see you back here next week.
See you, everybody.
Peace.
Peace.